Grace Believers Bible Study, the first annual conference.
I want to thank everybody for coming out tonight. We got a pretty good size room. Hopefully you like the banquet style setup instead of the regular chairs. This way, if you go to sleep and you bump your head, it'll hurt you instead of just falling out of your chair. So, other than that, we got two preachers tonight. I don't believe you're going to be able to go to sleep with them, either one of them. But the first I want to do is let's just have a prayer and open this thing up. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the place to meet, place to greet, people to preach to, the word to be edified here tonight. We just want to thank you for the safety of all the people that drove me in. We pray for the safety on the return home. We just thank you for the Savior, Jesus Christ, who was crucified, buried, and resurrected from the dead on the third day, according to the Scriptures, for our justification. And that's the most important thing. We just praise you so much to be able to get the body of Christ part of us together today, to worship, not to gripe, not to complain. We just thank you so much for a place to have a service and preach the revelation of the mystery. Amen. Before we have the first speaker, I do want to say a little bit about it. Brother Garrett's going to be the first speaker tonight. And if you've been following Facebook or through your friends and so forth, Brother Gilbert lost a son Sunday. And I went to see him in Prattville, and he said, "There's one." I said, "Are you going to preach?" Because I didn't expect him to. He said, "I sure am." He said, "I want my son's lost to be in vain. I want to tell people about it. Tell them about his testimony." Now, I knew Gage is who the son is, his oldest son who was 22 years old. I've been knowing him since he was 8 years old. He was in our Pensacola class. Good young man. One of the kinships that I have with Gage is I had 28 years in the military, and he was in the military when Afghanistan vet. And I'm sure Gilbert's going to elaborate on this. So without me saying anything else, brother, come on up and tell us what you need to do, what the Holy Spirit will lay on your heart.
And I'm going to give you the honor of.
Well, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
As the opening speaker, I'm supposed to kind of tell you the rules. So, the way this is going to work is, any preacher that is preaching, this is for the preachers first, any preacher who is preaching before you, if you would, if they use a Bible verse, then that's off limits for you to use, okay? So we don't want to, go over the same stuff all the time. So that's off limits, and you need to come up with new verses. And, of course, the last person to preach is going to have a harder time than the first person. That's why I always say, we'll do that if I go first. No, I'm kidding about that. But also make sure that we're not in church, but we are in church, aren't we? Okay, so the Lord's here, and we want to honor the Lord Jesus Christ and honor His perfect book. We want to make sure that we also encourage the preacher. So if you're feeling it, and you got a little bit of Pentecost when you go to Lynn versus yet.
I'm over here in the corner.
Oh, hiding over there. Okay. Well, then, there's nothing wrong with screaming amen. Right? Amen to a preacher is like sitting to a bulldog. So make sure you keep it going. If you will, turn in your Bibles too. I don't know, because I got to open this up and find out where I'm at. Turn your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And we'll just see how this goes, okay? I suffered a loss this week that I hope that nobody here ever has to suffer. It's a club that you don't want to be a member of because the price is too high. but it reminded me instantaneously of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he was the Son of God. He was God manifest in the flesh, wasn't he? And it reminded me of God put his own Son on the cross so that we could gain salvation. By grace, we don't even have to work for it. And I thought of that, and I'll tell you what, when you hear those words come across the phone, you know, you instantly, you know, scream, no, 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 this can't be. And then, you know, you go through all the tears and everything you can imagine. And I'll tell you what, what verse popped into my head almost instantly was in Philippians 1. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read it. One verse. Verse 12 says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me that fall not rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." I had no doubt in my mind that I was going to preach. I found out on Sunday that my boy had committed suicide on Saturday night. And so it was Sunday when we found out. And yet on that Monday, we found out in between church Sunday morning and Sunday night, so I canceled Sunday night. But then on Tuesday morning, I had a Bible study. I always teach at a lady's house, and I went and taught it. Because, you know, Don Barrett, where is he sitting at? Okay. Don Barrett told me one time, and this is worth mentioning again. I'm not giving him money. Don't get too happy there. But he said something that was so profound that I put it in my wallet so that I could remember it, and that way I could blame whoever said it on what was said. Okay. And he said, no matter what's going on, we still got a ministry. And so I knew that Gage would want me to go on with the ministry. So Tuesday I taught Bible study, and Wednesday we taught church, and I knew that on Friday I would be here. And then on Sunday, I'll be preaching his funeral. It was never a question in my mind, because it was exactly what I felt like the Lord Jesus Christ would want me to do. And there's a certain thing that Brother Byron was talking about. You know, God has a plan. But see, God doesn't tell you what his plan is. He might only tell you part of it. If he had told me that my plan for you is to go up to Prattville and become a pastor and go through all the bumps of learning to be a pastor that I'm still going through, and then 4.5 years into it, your son will die, I don't think I would have come. I mean, I love the Lord and I love the ministry, but would you? See, if he revealed to us everything that's in our life's plan that he has planned for us, we would run away scared. If he lined up, you're going to have this problem, you're going to have this financial issue, you're going to have this marital problem, you're going to have this problem with your child, you're going to have this devastation happen, I don't want to go. You see, so the hard thing about the Christian life is to read your Bible and to believe it. So we're going to do that tonight. The message is entitled, "The Twofold Importance of a Testimony." The twofold importance of a testimony. And I hope it's a blessing to you. And I hope that you can hear this message and tell it to other people about this. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 10, "When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day." See, the definition of a testimony of salvation is you being able to tell somebody how you got saved. It's a very simple question to ask. Hey, are you saved? Or you can say, hey, if you died today, would you go to heaven or go to hell? Or you can say, hey, did you hear the good news? At the last funeral that I preached, there was the grave diggers off to the side, you know, sitting next to the machinery. And you never get a chance to talk to them. And I thought, the Lord just laid on my heart to go witness to them. I said, well, I've never witnessed to them before, but I talk to them every time. So the funeral hadn't started, so I milled over there and I go up to these two young guys and I say, did you guys hear the good news? And you did a look on their face was like, did he get back up or something? We got to fill in the hole? And they go, no. I said, you haven't? And they said, no. I said, God came down from heaven to earth as a man. And his name was Jesus Christ. And you know that he went 2,000 years ago and died on the cross for your sins so that we don't have to see hell. He forgave us of everything. And you go into explaining the gospel to him and have it, and you ask him, are you saved? And then you ask, then you're supposed to at that point hear their personal testimony, right? Well, if you start hearing, well, I got baptized back in, or you hear, well, my dad was a Baptist preacher for how many years? Or my grandpa, or and you start hearing stuff like that, and you know, oh, we might have a lost person sitting here. But if you never didn't ask, you'd never know, right? A boss told me a long time ago, you will never get what you don't ask for. But you sometimes will get what you do ask for. So I just learned to ask. So I wanted to find out about this person's personal testimony, so I asked him. I want to ask y'all, what is your testimony? What is your testimony of salvation? Do you have a time, a place? I don't mean that you know the exact date and the minute. I mean, like Byron and EC, they could go tell you what minute it happened. And it was 43 seconds after the 37th minute of, you know. But if you can recall in your mind where you were, when you were, how you went from lost this second and saved this second, then I want to hear about it. Well, in the Bible, Paul uses his testimony. So the first fold in the twofold importance of a testimony is to win souls. Look over, if you will, to 2 Timothy. It should be just one page or two pages over. In 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 8, the Bible says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. See, I have a lot of people that they say, well, you have no problem talking to people because, you know, you were a salesman for 16 years. You're used to talking to people. You're used to talking to crowds or individuals. And, you know, it's just, you don't meet a stranger. Well, that doesn't mean that, okay, that means that this might be easier for me, but you might do something that I go, man, how do you do that? Because it doesn't seem easy to me. Right? We all have our things that we're good at. But the most important part is you got to witness. Your personal testimony, if any of you don't know what Bible verses to go to, some of us like to use the Romans Road, a version of it. Some say, Romans Road, that's of the devil. Some like to only use 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4 and never touch anything else. Some like to bounce outside of Paul's. I don't care where you go. You can go to Isaiah and show somebody how to get saved by grace through faith. If you know what you're talking about. But the point is, you've got to tell somebody. So I urge you, if you're not giving the gospel out, if you go, yeah, but I'm really shy, pass out tracts. Oh, I'd be too embarrassed to hand them a tract. I couldn't do that. Okay, well, don't hand it to them. Just leave it where they are. And everything, I think something that everybody can do is tell somebody their personal testimony of salvation. You shouldn't be ashamed of that. What does it say? Something about, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now you'll find when you start trying to come up with your personal testimony and you realize that, you know what, I can't come up with my personal testimony. I've just always believed in Jesus. I've always been a Christian. I've always gone to church. I've always believed that Christ died on the cross for my sins. I've always. See, you never got into the lost category to get into the saved category. Well, guess where you're at? You're lost. Nobody's born saved. I don't care if, you know, who your daddy was and your grandpa was. That makes no difference. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." You see, it doesn't take wisdom. It doesn't take excellency of speech. I bumble and I call off a verse. I might tell you to go to 2 Timothy, but I'm going to be in 1 Timothy, and I'll start reading. Don't shake your head yes. Come on now. Or I might tell you to go to 1 Timothy, and I'm over in 1 Timothy, I think, but I'm in the wrong chapter, and I start reading. If I do that, which I probably will, just raise your hand and say, "Hey, hold on, I think we're at the wrong place." So I don't have excellency of speech, but I have a desire in my heart to see souls saved. Do you have that desire? I'll tell you how I got it, is I heard somebody say you ought to pray for an urgency. So I did. And guess what the Lord gave me? He gave me this urgency that time is short. Time is short, and it's my obligation to try and win souls, to try and get people saved, to try and get them to have their own personal testimony, to try and give out the gospel of the grace of God. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and look at verse 5. So first, to win souls, you should give your testimony. And so that's the first reason, first importance of a testimony. In Hebrews 11, verse 5, the Bible says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God." He walked to the earth for 365 years. And in the last 300 years, he pleased God. So God took him. You know why God didn't take you when you got saved? Because he got work for you to do. He's got work for you to do. Now, three times, just turn over to Acts 26. Three times in the book of Acts, Paul gives his testimony. Now, we're supposed to be followers of Paul, right? "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." It's in there numerous times. You can show me all the verses that prove that we're supposed to follow Paul in this age of grace. And I believe that. I just don't believe that very many Christians are doing it. I know I don't do it enough. I'm supposed to follow Paul. I had a chance just a couple of days ago to give a tract. I went in the house and I grabbed a tract. Somebody had broke down outside my house, and I was going to follow him home with our flashers, my flashers on. So I got a tract, and I said, "When I say goodbye, I'm going to hand him this tract." And you know, I chickened out. "Well, you're a preacher." "Yeah, but I'm chicken." I chickened out. I was following him with my flashers because he couldn't go very fast. And then he pulled over and said, "Okay, I'm straight." I pulled up next to him, and he goes, "I'm straight down this road. Thank you so much." And I said, "No problem." And I said, "Well, here's how you pay me back. Come to church Sunday." Not this Sunday, because I'm going to a funeral. "Go next Sunday." And he said, "I'll do it." Now, what would it have taken for me to get out of my seat, walk around, and say, "Let me give you this. It's got our church address on it"? Why didn't I do it? Because I was chicken. But you know what? That reminds me that next time, don't be chicken. Folks, you're going to stumble. You're going to fall, right? You have the faith of Christ, but you aren't Christ yet. In Acts chapter 26, now Paul, like I said, gives his testimony. That's how Paul witnesses. He gives his testimony of salvation. I want to read just one time when he did it in Acts chapter 26, and we're going to jump around so we don't have to read the whole chapter, okay? This is my particular favorite time that Paul gave his testimony, and that's why I like to use it. Make this stop sliding down here. There we go. So in Acts 26, verse 1, the Bible says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." Now remember, Paul's in prison. He's been put in prison because he's out preaching the gospel. He gets put in prison, he has a chance to give the gospel to a king, just like the Lord Jesus Christ had prophesied. And he says, "Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. This is Paul speaking now. "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews." Now jump over to verse 8. "Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." Paul said, I heard Jesus, I accepted it, and I did what he said to do. Now jump over to verse 26. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, verse 26, let's try this again. For the king knoweth of these things, Paul's still speaking, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, see, now he's going for the question. That part where we chicken out. See, I'm going to do a funeral. Do you know why I'm doing my son's funeral? The same reason why I did my dad's funeral and my mom's funeral. Because I've got to make sure the gospel's preached.
Amen. Yes.
I mean, folks, I know that in this line of work, you go to a lot of funerals. Not all of them are you doing. And when I go to these funerals, the funerals that I go to that I'm not preaching in, I'll say probably 5%, 1 out of 20, will they give a clear testimony of salvation of the person, which is giving the gospel, or a clear presentation of the gospel at that funeral. I want you to think about something. A dead body right here. You think anybody in the room might be thinking about eternity? You think anybody? I mean, if I could, I would bring a dead body with me every time I preach. I mean, come on. Laying right there, casket open. People are looking over, seeing if he's breathing or not. Oh, it looks like he's breathing. They're spooked out. There's a dead body there. They're thinking about eternity, and they're thinking about their own personal death. I guarantee it. I got to make sure the gospel's preached. Well, King Agrippa, Paul is talking to King Agrippa, and he says, King Agrippa, verse 27, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. So he's going for the asking for the order, and he's assuming the sale. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. You think Paul had a burden for lost souls? He had a chance to try and get himself out of prison. What does he do? He does instead, turns it into a preaching session, and he gives his personal testimony of salvation to the king. Then he doesn't say, so king, after saying all this, would you let me out of prison? He says, so King Agrippa, believest thou this? That believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. And what's he say? Almost. Folks, do you know how many souls on this earth are going to be missing heaven by that much? They're going to be almost. Well, let me ask you this. If you leap into eternity right now, and you almost make it to heaven, where do you end up? This is like, here's you, and you leap into eternity, and you almost make it to heaven, and then you go to the 18 double toothpicks, right? You go to hell. Now, is that something good? No. Is that something that I'm saying or I want to happen? No. Is it something that God wants? God wants every man to be saved and come into the knowledge of truth. He provided the way, right? Yes. He provided the only way. Amen? Mm-hmm. If he provided the only way, why aren't we telling people about it? Tell people your personal testimony. Why did Paul, let me ask you this, why did Paul give his testimony to King Agrippa to win souls, right? Maybe you're lost. I don't know. I don't know everybody here. And even if I do know everybody here, just because I know you and you've been coming to conferences since I was a baby, that don't mean you're saved, right? Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Some of you may have heard this before. You may have read these verses before. You might have them memorized. And this is not bragging, okay? But how many people here have 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4 memorized? Raise your hand. Shouldn't we all have our hands up? Isn't that the gospel? Isn't that how we show someone how to get to heaven? The Bible says in verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you. So we know the gospel is something that's preached. It's going to give its own definition here, what the word gospel means. Which also you have received, so it's something you receive, and wherein you stand. You can stand on your testimony. You can stand on the gospel and say, I trusted Christ on a day in the summer at around 11 years old. I don't even remember the exact year it was. By which also you're saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believe in vain. So we know the gospel is something that's preached, it's something that's received, it's something you can stand on, and it's something you can believe in vain. What does vain mean? Obviously, it just means of no use. See, you can believe. You say, I've always been a Christian. See, I can't go back in my memory and remember the time that I did not believe in Jesus Christ. There's no recollection within that time. I can't go anywhere in my brain and go down to a place where I did not believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world, that he was buried and he rose again the third day. I can't think of one spot, one second in my life where I've been saved. I did not know that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. I didn't know where the verse was, but I was taught these things from the time I could hear and understand language. Doesn't mean I was saved, does it? Because I had believed in vain. I had believed in my head. I hadn't trusted in my heart.
Amen.
Look at the next verse. Now he's going to give the gospel. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So if we... I'm sorry, I can't help it. It goes back to my modeling days. You don't have to laugh at that. That wasn't funny. But we've got the Lord Jesus Christ is presented right here. The death, burial, and resurrection. The death for forgiveness of sins. The burial, the resurrection for justification unto eternal life. Amen? Amen. We have to go with that. So if you're not saved here, because I don't know, just do this. What is my testimony of salvation? Well, let me give you mine. I was a little boy. I don't remember if I was 6 or if I was 9. I don't know. But it was a very, very young age. I was in Sunday school, and I remember this old gray-haired lady was teaching Sunday school. And there was only 2 people in the class that particular Sunday for our age group. And it was me and my sister, Lee. And that she was 13 or 18 months younger than me. So she was in the class, and I was in the class. And I remember the teacher said, you know, along the lesson, she likes to put down the flannel board. She kind of stopped and said, there's only 2 kids here. Now, I was going to what's called a Free Methodist church at the time. Or, because I don't remember which exact church, I can see the, no, I know exactly, the Free Methodist church, okay? And we had gone to Assembly of God before, too. And the Free Methodist church, as a denomination, does not teach salvation by grace through faith. They teach works to get saved and works to stay saved, the one that I went to. But this teacher here had got a hold of the gospel, had got a hold of Paul's gospel, our gospel, the my gospel. She got a hold of that, and she was going to get some kids saved. Thank God she started with me, or maybe in the middle someplace. Anyways, she said, hey, let me ask you a question. If you could choose where you go when you die, would you rather go to heaven or go to hell? I knew that one. Heaven! And she says, right. Why wouldn't you want to go to hell? Ooh, I don't want to burn forever. No way. That's terrible. Okay, you'd like to go to heaven. She said, what if I could show you a way where you could know for sure right now that you would go to heaven if you died? Would you want me to show you? Yes, 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 teacher. She said, she explained very simple. She says, there's 4 things you have to believe and understand, and you can be saved. I said, okay. She said, first thing is you're a sinner. Well, so that was easy. I had already lied to my mom and dad. I had already stolen gum from the, still got it. I had already stolen gum. And, you know, I remember in first grade, I had stolen some gum. And I got away with it. I was good at this stuff. I got away with it, and my sister knocked me out when we got home. I should have gave her the piece that she asked for, but I didn't. Being greedy. So I had to go and confess and all this kind of stuff. I knew I had lied. I had cussed. I had been wrong to my mom and dad. I had stolen stuff. I knew I was a sinner. There was no question about this. She said, you're a sinner. And I said, okay. And she showed me, I'm sure, some Bible verse. And then she said, the second thing you have to understand is that there's a price to pay for being a sinner. And I said, well, what's that? And she said, go to hell. And I said, hold on a second. Didn't you just say that everybody's a sinner? It's not just me, okay? Everybody's a sinner, right? She said, yes. And she said, and what you said, the price to pay for being a sinner. I remember she used the analogy of my dad. My dad, your dad works, right? Yes. Well, when he gets done for that week, they give him some money, right? And yeah, well, he's being paid for his time. Well, because you're a sinner, you have to go to hell. And I said, so everybody's going to hell? She said, hold on. I'm not done. I said, 4 things. I said, okay. I was getting sweaty right there. Then she said, the third thing you have to understand is that Jesus Christ already paid the price on the cross 2,000 years ago. He already paid your debt. He's already done everything that needs to get done. Jesus Christ did it. And I said, great, so we're all going to heaven. Yay! I was only a little guy. And she said, no, 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 no. Four things. See, I was always like trying to get right. Let's get to the nuts and the bolts here. Don't tell me how to build a clock. Tell me what time it is. So she said, no, there's four things. You have, first, you have to understand your sin. Second, you have to understand there's a price to pay for being a sinner. And that's hell forever. Third, you have to understand that Jesus Christ already paid the price for your forgiveness. But the fourth thing is, you have to accept that free gift personally from Him. If you don't, then it was all for no reason. But Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross for the sins of the whole world, Gilbert, Lee, He died for the sins for you. And you know what? I trusted Christ right then. This is the very first time that I heard a clear testimony of salvation. I got saved. That's my testimony. My son's testimony, it was on April 21st, 1997. He was 5 years old. You might think he wasn't saved, but I'll go on about that in a second. I was there. Okay? He went to my wife, my then wife, and he said, Mommy, I want to get saved. You know, he'd been born and raised in church, hearing me preach. And he said, Mommy, I want to get saved. And she said, okay. She said, why don't you wait for your dad to get home and tell him? Because I think he'd want to be part of this too. And I thank so much for her doing that. Well, when I got home, he meets me at the door, which he always did to give me a big hug and a kiss, right? But this time he said, Daddy, I want to get saved today. And I'm like, she said, he's been going at this all day. I told him to wait and talk to you. And I said, okay, son, let's go in the bedroom and talk. And I brought my Bible in there. We closed the door. And here's what I did. For the next 20 minutes, I tried to talk him out of getting saved. Now you go, what? Keep in mind where he's coming from. At that time, I'm a professional salesperson. I'm professionally trained to help you think. I go in, I knock on your door, and 2 hours later, you're writing me a check for $2,000 for a dirt sucker. Okay? I have the power of persuasion. I didn't want to persuade him to say a sinner's prayer or to ask Jesus into his heart or anything like that. I was trying to talk him out of it. And he said, no, I want to get saved. And I went through the four simple steps. You're a sinner. Show them Bible verse. There's a price to pay for being a sinner. That's hell. Forever. He didn't want to do that. I said, but Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins to pay for that. And he was buried and he wrote, and he goes, well, I believe that. And I said, without Jesus Christ, he never, ever, you could go to heaven. But he did it. It's not because you're being a good boy. It's because he paid the price already. And then I explained to him how to trust Christ, accept that free gift. And here's the trick. Here's a pros tip. Don't say, repeat after me. Because then they're just repeating after you. Well, I'm going to tell them what I said. And that don't matter what you